Everybody, yesterday we spoke a little bit about perspectives on tefillah in honor of this week's parsha, Parshas Va'eschanan, when we focus a lot on the tefillahs of Moshe Rabbeinu and what our tefillahs are supposed to look like as well. So we have a Gemara in Yuma. The Gemara in Yuma, Daf Yud Tes Amud Beis, says a strange kind of story. The Gemara there is talking about one of the Amoraim who was sitting in the Beis Medrash, and he's saying over a Dvar Halacha to somebody else. And he says the following, Masni le Rav Chanan bar Rava lechia bar Rav. So Rav Chanan bar Rava is saying over halacha to his friend, and he says, Zecharia ben Kefutel Omer, the following. He says something in the name of someone, Zecharia ben Kefutel. Now Rav, the great Rav, is sitting there on the side, and Machvi le Rav viyade. Rav is waving his finger. Rav says, doesn't say anything, but he's waving his hands. No, you got it all wrong. His name is not Zecharia ben Kefutel with a pay. His name is Zecharia ben Kevuto. So that was Rav's interjection. Rav gets involved and he says, you're making a big mistake. So the Gemara asks, Uparich, v'neimar le'meimar, why doesn't Rav open his mouth? Why doesn't Rav say, by the way, you're making a mistake, you're not saying it over with accuracy, you're not saying it over the right way? And why doesn't he just correct him the same way anyone else would have corrected a friend who made a mistake? So there are some who suggest that the Gemara here has perhaps two answers. If you read the Gemara on its own, the Gemara gives one full answer, as we'll see in a minute, but there are some who suggest no, because we have another Gemara that says that Rav was careful never to utter Sicha Betela from his mouth, and he was careful to have a Midas Chasidus never to say an extra word that wasn't absolutely necessary. So maybe this was also one of the things. If he was able to correct someone without having to say with his mouth, if he would just wave his finger and everybody would get the message, maybe that was good enough. Okay, maybe that's the pshat. But the Gemara, on the simple understanding, means that the Gemara tells us that Rav Havikari Kriyashma. Rav at that time was in the middle of reciting Kriyashma. So I don't know if it was a shtiblach and they had some people learning in the corner and some people davening over here, but whatever it was, Rav was in the middle of saying Kriyashma, and therefore he was not able to say anything in the middle of Kriyashma, so the only way he was able to correct those who were making the mistake was by waving his hands. Ask the Gemara, V'chiyai Gavna Mishari? So you're telling me Rav is in the middle of Kriyashma, and he overhears somebody making a mistake, and therefore he waves his finger at him to correct him, but he's not allowed to speak with his mouth. In the middle of Kriyat Shema, you're allowed to wave your hands, you're allowed to motion to other people, you're allowed to wink to them. The Gemara says, don't we know, Bahamar of Yitzchak, HaKorish Kriyat Shema, someone who's in the middle of Kriyat Shema, Lo Yirmoz Be'enav, you're not allowed to wink with your eye at somebody else, V'lo Yorah Be'etzbo'osav, you're also not allowed to wave your finger to make some sort of motion to somebody else while reciting Kriyat Shema. Kavachomer ben Menosho Kavachomer, you're not allowed to text or send an email in the middle of Kriyat Shema. If the Gemara says you're not even allowed to do something that is important to communicate with someone else, certainly you're not allowed to do something that's totally unimportant and not related at all. So the Gemara says, so how is it, if you're not even allowed to make a motion or a wink to somebody in the middle of Kriyat Shema, so how was Rav allowed to wave his hands to correct the Talmud who was saying something inaccurately? So the Gemara answers, Lo Kasha. Hava Perek Rishon, Hava Perek Sheni. It makes a difference whether you're in the beginning of Kriyat Shema, which is all about Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim, or whether in the second paragraph of Kriyat Shema, which is all about Kabbalas Ol Mitzvahs, V'hayam Shema. So Rashi explains there, when you're talking about Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim, then you're not allowed to do any hafsaka. You're not allowed to do anything in the middle of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim. You need to have absolute kavana while you're saying those words. However, when you get to the second paragraph of Kriyat Shema, which is not as important as the first, then one would perhaps be allowed to make some sort of break in the middle. That is the way Rashi explains, because it's all about kavana. It's all about kavana. The Rif disagrees with Rashi, and the Rif writes that no, the reason why you're not allowed to make a hafsaka, the reason why you're not allowed to make a wink with your eye or make a sign with your hand to somebody else in the middle of Kriyat Shema, is because it's nira kekore aroi. Because a person who's going to start doing a million other things in the middle of Kriyat Shema, and texting and waving and winking and doing other things, that's like Kriyat Shema is not important to you. It's like it's not something that is of the utmost significance, and therefore, the same time while I'm doing this, I'm also doing something else. Like the same way while I'm stirring the noodles in my sink in the pot, I'm also, watching the baby, and I'm doing 100 other things. So that's the same thing, Kriyat Shema also. I am able to multitask, I'm doing a lot of things at once. And therefore, the Rif writes that that's not the seriousness that Kriyat Shema is supposed to be read with. And that is the opinion of the Rush. The Mishnah Brewer writes in Ilchus Berchus Hamazon that this applies not only to Kriyat Shema. What? The Rif, yeah.
You said the Rush.
Oh, the Rif, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, you're correct. So the Rif, this is the Rif in Maseches Brachos, not like Rashi in the Gemara in Yuma, where Rashi says it's all about Kavana, all about paying attention. So the Mishnah Brura in Ilchus Berchus Hamazon extends this, and he says this doesn't apply only to Kriya Shema, and it doesn't apply only, as we'll see, to Shemona Esrei. It applies also to all brachas that we're saying. And there he's talking about Birchas HaMazon, and he says, if a person is in the middle of Birchas HaMazon, they have no right to be doing other things. They have no right to be certainly talking to somebody else. That would be a hefsek, but you're not allowed to wink to somebody else. You're not allowed to wave to somebody else. You're not allowed to text on a cell phone. You're not allowed to be involved in other malachos. Says the Mishnah Berurah, why is that? Why can't I be involved? The same as the Rif writes, because he says, that's like telchu imi keri, he says. That's like taking the mitzvahs as a happenstance. There's nothing special going on. This is just another part of my life, another thing I have to check off on my list that I did today. And therefore therefore the Mishnah Berurah writes that he thinks this is not a good idea. What would be a nafkamina, perhaps, between the understanding of Rashi and the understanding of the Rif? Well, the reason why you're not allowed to wink or wave to somebody is because of kavana, or rather it's because of not being kore arai, not taking it like a mundane part of life. So perhaps a nafkamina would be, as some achronim suggest, what if a person stops saying the words of Kriya Shema? You stop for a few seconds, somebody walks in, you have to wave to him, can't let it go by, so I'm not going to interrupt in the middle of Kriya Shema, but I'm also not going to give up the opportunity to wave to that person. So I stop saying the words of Kriya Shema for a minute, and then I wave to the person, give him all the hand motions that I have to do. I got to respond to this text, but I'm not going to do that while I'm saying Kriya Shema. So I stop in the middle, I do whatever I have to do, then I come back to what I'm doing. So is that a violation of a hefsek in the middle of Kriya Shema or not? So again, if you understand like Rashi that the problem with doing other things in the middle of Kriya Shema is because it's a lack of kavana, you can have proper concentration. So then over here where I stop saying the words and I do whatever I have to do in the middle, that doesn't get in the way of my concentration. I'm not saying anything at the time. However, if you understand that it's like the Rif, that the problem here that's presented by doing other things in the middle of Kriya Shema is not because of Kavana, but rather, even if you could pay attention, it's a problem of Nirika Aroi, you're making it like just a mundane part of life, that would be an issue even if you're not saying the words at that particular moment, because you're not taking it seriously enough. From the fact that you care to give a hand motion to somebody else or to send a text message to somebody else in the middle of Kriya Shema, even if you're not saying the words, shows that Kriya Shema is not important. So that's something that the Acharonim write, we generally would follow the opinion of the Rif, and it's something we have to be very careful about. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says, that this applies not only to Kriya Shema, not only to Tefillah, but it applies to Birchas HaMazon, and for that matter, he says, to all brachos, that we have to take brachos and all the mitzvahs that we do very seriously, and we cannot be involved in other things, in mundane activities, while reciting the brachos. However, what's striking is the way the Rambam quotes this halacha. Again, the Gemara here tells us in Yuma that there's a difference between the Parsha Rishona in Kriya Shema, which is all about Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim, where you're not allowed to do any sort of interruption, and Parsha Shniyah Shebe Kriya Shema, which is a little less intense, a little less, the halachos, the restrictions are not as severe as they are during the first paragraph. So the Rambam, very strangely, when he writes this halacha in Hilchos Kriya Shema, he says, Lo Yirmos Be'enav, and he doesn't make any kind of distinction between the first paragraph and the second paragraph. And the Kesef Mishnah quotes from Rabbeinu Manoach, that why is it that the Rambam seems to go against our Gemara? How come the Rambam doesn't quote the Gemara that we have here in Yuma, where the Gemara makes a clear distinction between the first parsha of Kriya Shema and the second parsha of Kriya Shema? The first parsha, you're not allowed to make any interruption, because that's Kabbalah Zol Malchus Shamayim. And the second parsha of Kriya Shema is something that, perhaps for an important reason, you would be allowed to make a hefsaka, to make some sort of break in the middle. Why doesn't the Rambam differentiate? So the Kesef Mishnah writes that there are two answers. Number one, he says, yes, the Rambam agrees that that is the halacha. However, he says, the Rambam did not want to quote it, la halacha, because, lo asu lezalzuba, I don't want that it should be on my head that people should be mezalzal in the Kriya Shema. So therefore, the Rambam decides, which is a very strange kind of answer, what the Rambam sort of rewrites the halacha. He chooses not to quote something that he knows is a basic gemara. He knows it's the basic sugi, it's the basic halacha. The Rambam chooses to leave it out because he's afraid people are going to make a mistake. And not only that, the Rambam assumes no one's ever going to learn the Gemara in Yuma, no one's ever going to realize that this is the halacha. So I don't know, it's a strange kind of answer. Not sure exactly why the Kesef Mishnah quotes that answer, but that's what he writes. But answer number two, he says, is because the Rambam says fundamentally that, yes, it's true that there might not be an actual Isser during the second paragraph of Kriya Shema. However, Miguna Miha Ika. He says it's not the right thing to do. Even though the Gemara says there is a distinction between the first parasha and the second, but bottom line, says the Rambam, this is something that is Maguna either way. It's not the proper thing to do. And therefore, the Magen Avraham goes in the direction of this Rambam, and the Magen Avraham says, although our Gemara says that there is a distinction that can be drawn between the first parasha and the second, the Magen Avraham still warns us that we should follow the opinion of the Rambam, that at least for ourselves, this is something that is meguna, even in the Parsha Hashniya, and it's something we should try to avoid to do as much as possible. The Magen Avraham then goes so far as to say that even lidvar mitzvah, even if a person, let's say, they're asking around, is there a Kohen in the room? So, you're a little bit behind, you're still in the middle of Kriya Shema, or you're ahead, whatever you are, there's a minion that's up to Kriya Satorah, and they say, is there a Kohen in the room? So you know there's a Kohen over there, so you're not going to talk in the middle, you're just going to point. It's the Dvar Mitzvah, it's because you don't want to be Matriach the Tzibur, it's because you want to point out the Kohen, he's too shy, he's not going to step up, so you point to him. So the Magen Avraham writes, even for a Dvar Mitzvah, you're not allowed to be Mapsik in the middle of the first Parsha of Kriya Shema. How do we know that? Because the Magen Avraham argues that here, Rav was making an interruption for a Dvar Mitzvah, because he heard that there was an inaccuracy in the way the Torah was being presented. That is a Dvar Mitzvah to correct that. And therefore Rav, even though he was involved in a Dvar Mitzvah, like the Gemara in Yuma says, he still did not allow himself to do it in the first Parsha of Kriya Shema. He was only allowed to do it in the second. Says the Magen Avraham, you see from here, that even for a Dvar Mitzvah, even if it's a Tircha de Tzibura, even if it's a Dvar Mitzvah of whatever kind, obviously a Pikuach Nefesh, you do whatever you have to do, but if it's a regular Dvar Mitzvah, we would say a person has to wait until later on in the Kriya Shema, they're not allowed to interrupt in the middle of the first Parsha. Bidiyeved, what's the Halacha? Bidiyeved, what if, instinctively, somebody calls out, is there a Kohen in the room? Instinctively, you're going to point over there, you have a Gabbai head, so you think in that way, you're going to do whatever has to be done. Bidiyeved, you have to go back and repeat the Kriya Shema for making a Hafsaka, for doing the wrong thing. So the Rambam says in Uchas Kriya Shema that no. Bidiyeved, if a person makes a Hefsik, for whatever reason it might be, whether it was for a Dvar Mitzvah or not for a Dvar Mitzvah, you don't have to go back again. And the Bir Halacha then extends that to Birchas HaMazon as well. So you say, for example, if we're in the middle of benching and somebody starts to point this way or point that way or send a text or do something that they know they're not supposed to do, but they do it anyway, so the Bir Halacha writes that that would not be a hefsik b'diyeved, even though l'chatchila you're not allowed to do that, but b'diyeved, you do not have to go back and recite the Kriya Shema or the Birchas HaMazon over.
What kind of hefsik?
In other words, right, so here we're talking right, here we're talking about pointing with your fingers or something of that nature. If you're talking in the middle, that's a different story. But over here we're talking about just making a hefsik with your eyes, making a hefsik with a text or something of that nature, or reading a sefer in the middle. Also, people think is allowed. The Mishnah Berurah writes, absolutely not allowed in the middle of Birchas HaMazon. You see a nice vart, you're not allowed to be involved in that in the middle of Birchas HaMazon. So that is something that b'diyeved, we say, is not going to be in the way of your Birchas HaMazon or of your Kriya Shema. Now, what's the halacha when you have a Talmud Chacham walks into the room in the middle of Kriya Shema? Is that a hefsik to stand up in the middle and to show honor and respect to the Talmud Chacham? So this is a very interesting discussion that is found in the Chidah's Sefer and the Birkei Yosef on Aruch Chaim. So the Birkei Yosef writes that he saw that there was a Chacham Echad, Migdolei Sfarad, one of the Sfardish Gedolim wrote, that you should not stand up for a Talmud Chacham in the middle of Kriya Shema. Why? Because that's the same. That's the same as when my friend walks in, I shouldn't wave to him, and when somebody else walks in, I shouldn't text to them. So too, the Birkei Yosef writes, you also shouldn't stand up for the Talmud Chacham. You're acknowledging his presence. And he says, number one, we have no reason to be acknowledging anybody. You're in the presence of God. He's the only one that's important right now. He's the only one that takes precedence. Ein cholkim kavan le Talmud b'makom harav. We don't give honor to a Talmud in the place of the Rebbe. That would be some sort of a slight to the covet of the Rebbe himself. So here you are, you're davening to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and still you're sidetracked with something else. That would be some sort of lack of respect to the Ribbono Shel Olam himself, and therefore says the Birkei Yosef, there are those who argue that one should not stand up for a Talmud Chacham in the middle of Kriya Shema. He brings a proof from the fact that by Yaakov Avinu meets up with his son, and he hasn't seen his son Yosef in so many years. His son is the Melech, he really should have given him covet, and yet the Pasuk says, Vayipol al tzav harav, they didn't both embrace each other. Yaakov Avinu, Rashi tells us, chose not to. Why? Because he was in the middle of Kriya Shema. So what? You have a melech here, why don't you give some respect to him? The answer is, says the Chidah, perhaps because you're not allowed to show respect to anybody else while showing respect to the Ribbono Shel Olam himself. The Birkei Yosef, however, disagrees with this assumption, and he says he doesn't think it's correct at all. He says Yaakov Avinu, maybe over there he was in the middle of first Parsha Kriya Shema. First Parsha Kriya Shema, you're not allowed to stop for anything. So maybe the first Parsha of Kriya Shema, that's why he didn't stop. And had he been later on, maybe he would have shown respect to his son who was the Melech. And therefore the Birkei Yosef comes to the conclusion that he thinks that a person should stand up for the Talmud Chacham who walks into the room, even though it's in the middle of Kriya Shema, even though in the middle of Kriya Shema, l'chatchila, we just said we follow the opinion of the Rambam, that you're not supposed to make any interruption even in the later parts of Kriya Shema, but still, he says if it's for the purpose of showing kavod to a Talmud Chacham, then one would be allowed to do so. Okay, Mirtz Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up a little bit about a hefsek in the middle of tefillah, in the middle of Shemona Esrei. Is that the same or perhaps more serious than the hefsek in the middle of Kriya Shema?